Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Continental Extreme Contact DWS 06 Plus. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fans?
It's me, Jason McIntyre, Straight
Fire,
for Wednesday, April 24th. The NBA was good again. Not as good. Not quite as good as the Monday night madness with the Knicks and Lakers games. But listen, you can tell there's a little pep in my step, a little bounce to my ounce on a morning after the first halves that we talked about last night went 3-0. And Pacers come out on top. Mavs come out on top. The only loser was the Phoenix Suns. And I'm sure you guys heard what Devin Booker said. Rob G and I are going to parse those words shortly. But first, we got to start with my Mavericks. You know my Mavericks. I'm pot committed on Dallas. They have not looked great. I was sweating it against the Paperclips. I was shocked. I thought the biggest surprise this postseason, not Pascal Siakam, who's going off, if you guys haven't noticed, not the Timberwolves, not Anthony Edwards, not the imploding Suns. But I thought the surprise was Kawhi Leonard is going to fight. Okay? Daniel LaRusso is going to fight. That's what I mean, I was absolutely stunned. I could not believe it. So as a note, Kawhi had not played since like late March. He had not done any contact practices, according to the team. He appeared at a shoot around. And all there is like a 4-second video from one of the reporters who was let in. And you see Kawhi Leonard walking, not even but participating in a drill. Like they blew the whistle, it's over. And all of a sudden the line move, I think 4 or 5 points. Kawhi Leonard plays. And I'm like, oh damn, Mavs in trouble. Mavs come out strong, covered the first half. But if you guys are watching, in the fourth quarter, the Clippers go up by 4. And it was like, it was, you know, pants pooping time for the Mavs. And the Clippers up 4 had 2 possessions to extend the lead. They were unable to do so. And then my guy, my MVP, Luka Doncic. Man, did he take over. Oh, he did get a dumb technical at the end of the third. I mean, you know, if they reviewed it, I'm sure they would have found something since the review has been. I mean, the review might be the second biggest story of the postseason so far. But Luka Doncic basically took over. He had 2 free throws. And what they started to do was they started to blitz Luka when he tried to do a switch with to get Zubaz on him. They were like, we're not going to let him cook Zubaz. We're just going to double team Luka. So they blitz him hard double, hard, so he has to give it up. And he was giving the ball up to like PJ Washington or who is Derek Lively, the young guy, at the foul line. And both of them like turned around and they're like, what do I do? Yeah, and it was like a comedy of errors, and that's kind of how they blew the lead. And finally, they got a good rotation, and PJ Washington hit a corner 3, big one. Luka then walks into a 27-foot 3 and starts shouting at the crowd, probably in Serbian, something really just vulgar, I hope. Buries a 3, then Kyrie hits a 3, and then it's like, okay, game on. Mavs kind of took over from there. Kyrie had like a nice baseline hook job that I was like, oh, man. Kyrie. Rooting for Kyrie Irving is fun again. And I probably shouldn't put this political thing in there, but I put out a tweet during the game. Boy, it is so fun to root for Kyrie. It's been a while for me since I've rooted for Kyrie. And someone instantly replies with, Kyrie is pro-Palestine, but yeah, that baseline floater. And I just was like, all right, I'm not going there. This is an NBA game. There's money on the line. I don't want to talk about it. Obviously, Luka finished with 32, 9, and 6. He wasn't amazing, but he made the right passes. And this, I think, was the big difference. We know in the playoffs, role players usually deliver at home. Nick Batum for Philly in the play-in, Josh Hart for the Knicks. Role players deliver in the playoffs. That's kind of Jaden McDaniels, who we'll get to, had like 25 points for the Timberwolves. You need those performances at home from the role players. They step up. Comfort level, crowd, blah, blah, blah. We didn't see that in game one from any of the Mavs role players. And in the fourth quarter of game two, money time, or as my buddy Nico says, nut-cutting time, P.J. Washington hits the corner three. P.J. Washington then goes to the other corner and hits the three, Luka with the assist. And then Maxi Kleber with like 2 minutes left hits a big three and got an offensive board on a Kyrie missed free throw. Role players came up clutch. It was, listen, Luka played 46 minutes. I don't think he came out in the second half. Kyrie Irving, 42 minutes. And Mavs got the victory. Listen, they're walking wounded. Hardaway turned an ankle. Daniel Gafford went out injured again. That's two of their top like 7 or 8 guys. Not great, but they get to go home. You know they'll be juiced up in Dallas. I'll be honest. Rob might have seen something different. I didn't see it from Kawhi. I'm personally shocked that he played 35 minutes. No minutes restriction for a guy who hasn't played in a month. Like they were treating this game like, oh, we're going to go steal it. Let's bring Kawhi back. Or maybe they have an extra day. They were hoping for that. Kawhi solid defensively with 4 steals, but 0 for 5 on threes. He looked to be settling a little bit. And oh, wouldn't you know it? James Harden didn't make every shot he took. And the defense on Paul George was solid. Zubaz, 13 and 12, a far cry from the 20 and 15 he had in game one. You can tell, by the way, I'm rattling off all this information. I am pot committed on the Mavs. And the Mavs get the dub, even the series at 1. I'm feeling really good. Norm Powell off the bench, 2 for 10. Russell Westbrook, 2 for 9. Role players not delivering. I think Dallas should be up 3-1 in this series when they go home and when the next 2 games drop. So I feel really good about the Mavs. And I think this is a very extremely dangerous team.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And as impressive as it was for the Dallas Mavericks, I think the story, as you alluded to, was Kawhi Leonard making his big return. I had a few friends who were in the building. They said it's the loudest that it's been for a Clipper game in years when Kawhi was introduced for the, starting lineups. And I believe that he had missed the last 12 Clippers playoff games. So it would make sense as to why, everyone was so excited about it. To your point, though, it's really, really difficult to go from basically sitting on your couch, sitting on your couch for a month and then walking into an NBA playoff game where the intensity's ratcheted up, the physicality's ratcheted up, and to perform at a high level or the level that we are accustomed to seeing from Kawhi Leonard. I thought we saw in that game yesterday that he was, I'm not going to say tentative is the right word, but he just wasn't as aggressive as you would expect a guy like Kawhi Leonard. Settling for a lot of mid-range, settle for a lot of three-pointers, which normally is something he can hit, but he doesn't necessarily do it all the time. He was 0 for 5 last night. And he wasn't really attacking in the way that you would expect a prime, healthy Kawhi Leonard to attack. So that's number one. If he's not healthy, I have the Dallas Mavericks winning this series pretty easily. I had him in 5 before the series started because I didn't know if Kawhi was going to play at all. Now that he's back and he looks limited, I still feel good about the Dallas Mavericks because Kawhi Leonard is that important to this Clippers team. When Kawhi's not there, there is a heavy, almost over-reliance on James Harden. And in game one, you got good James Harden. James Harden was great. He had like 20 points in the first half. Game two, the final numbers look fine, 22, 8, and 6, but 2 of 10 on threes, and a lot of those threes were of the step-back variety, which means that it's not James Harden whipping the ball around the horn and he gets it back at the top of the key for an open three. No, it's James Harden pounding the rock, getting his rhythm, shooting that step back three. And when he's hitting it, great. When he's not hitting it, it doesn't really allow the rest of the players to kind of get into a rhythm. Outside of Paul George, who was 7 of 14, none of their guys really got into any kind of rhythm. Norm Powell was 2 for 10. Russell Westbrook, 2 for 9. Terrence Mann was 2 for 7. Like,
yeah.
If James Harden is not getting those rest of those guys involved, then it's hard for them to get into any kind of offensive flow. And if Kawhi Leonard is not healthy, you know, a healthy Kawhi Leonard, then I just don't see how in the course of a 7-game series, they're going to be able to keep up with what Luka and Kyrie bring on a night-to-night basis.
Yeah, Kyrie and Luka are just two cerebral basketball players who are going to solve what you throw at them. The problem for the Clippers is there's nothing to solve. It's just like Paul George and James Harden need to make shots. And I'll say this, Derrick Jones is a solid defender, man. He's good and long and quick. I thought he had a solid game. I would like to, if you're asking me anything I'd like to see more of the Mavs, it'd be a little more Josh Green. I don't exactly know if they have a hard and fast rotation, but Green to me is spry. He's young, quick, aggressive as hell. He had an open three in the fourth and he missed it. And I think they sat him and he didn't get to play much after that. But I think he's a very good young player. Just need to see more of him. But overall, I think Mavs are in control of that series.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporty handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. The right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of BF Goodrich tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their BF Goodrich test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews. And be sure to check out all the current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I do think a series that I don't have as good of a feel on is this Phoenix Suns situation against Minnesota. I'm going to go ahead and skip the boring part. So the Suns covered the first half, but you could see it was getting dicey there. They win the first half by just 1 point, and you're just just watching that game. I went for a quick little basketball run on Tuesday because we have our season opener on Thursday. So I played a little bit. I did not play great. I did a little run Monday. I played better in like sneakers and just goofing around. But I get home and I'm like, what's going on here? This offense is something seems off. Like, and then Grayson Allen goes down, Rob, and for whatever reason, every guy they tried did not work. Like Royce O'Neal just looked like he didn't want it. How do you play 17 minutes in an NBA game and attempt zero shots? Like, what's he doing out there? Is that like me getting cardio? I'll go get cardio in the NBA. I mean, Royce O'Neal did not want it. He did not want any shots. And then the problem becomes, okay, well, if Grayson Allen's out, we know that Jaden McDaniels, who is an elite defender, probably first team all defense, he was locking up D-Book, and Book had another rough game. 6 of 13, 1 of 6 from deep. He had 20, but he was a minus 24. 6 turnovers, 6 baskets. That's not going to cut it. I mean, last year, remember, Booker was cooking the Nuggets. KCP, Jamal Murray, didn't matter. D-Book was getting his. Guy came into the series, averaged 27 points a game this season. One of the best scorers in the league. He is, through two games, averaging 19. He's shooting 37% from the field, 25% from three. And he's got 10 fouls and 11 baskets. And he's got seven turnovers. And after the game, and I think this is a real quote, Rob. I don't know. I saw a bunch of people retweeting it, but you never know with the fake stuff going on out there. My frustration is within the team. Did you see that quote, Rob?
I saw a number of quotes regarding frustration, not that specific line, though.
Okay. So we heard Joel Embiid on Monday with his head down, very upset, and he kept using the word unacceptable. We know Joel Embiid would be one of the biggest names on the move in the NBA this offseason. I'm not saying Booker's on the move, but I am saying something's not working in Phoenix. Folks, third quarter comes out, you know, tight game. You expect Phoenix, veteran squad, guys who have been through some battles. And Rob, it's the classic your turn, my turn. It's like, okay, Beal, let's run you and Eubanks pick and roll, and let's get cooking against Gobert. And it's okay, Beal. Okay, now it's your turn, D-Book. Oh, can't get loose against McDaniels. Damn. Okay, let's go KD on Karl Anthony. They don't seem to be running sets, and they're not getting any fast break action because Minnesota's either making their shots or getting back on defense. It felt like no transition action really for Phoenix, and the half court is just bogged down, and Timberwolves start pulling away, and it's like when that crowd gets rolling in Minnesota, I know this has never been said, when they get rocking, look out. And Kevin Durant, 18 points on 15 shots. Bradley Beal, 14 points on 17 shots. Folks, Phoenix Suns are in deep, deep trouble. Kevin Durant now, in two games, he played, I think, 39 minutes and now 41 minutes, and he has three assists. I don't know what's going on. KD did not make a three-pointer. He only shot two of them. Kevin Durant attempting two threes. Something's off. And I don't know what's going on. I mean, I don't want to blame Vogel. You know he's a defensive guy, and he's got to be just so annoyed that they have no defense. I don't know that there's a quick fix here. Something's got to give. But, I have my doubts now about the Suns in this series. Obviously, last year, they lose the first two to Denver. It felt over. They go home. They get right. The role players hit. I'm sure Royce O'Neal will cook, and Drew Eubanks and Eric Gordon. And they're going to get they'll get game three. I think that's a lock. Go ahead and take that right now. Let's make sure Grayson Allen is not seriously injured. It looked like an ankle. He turned because they don't have any depth on this team. Like, I don't think they trust Okogie. Bol Bol is like an internet guy who everybody loves, but reality is he's not like a factor. I think the Suns get game three. The real question is, can they get game four? Now, Rob, I don't have numbers on this, but the one thing that I cannot quantify that feels like a thing is around the rim, the Suns must have missed like 10 shots in close. And every time I look, Gobert is like impacting shots. He's not blocking it, but it's like Durant has to add a little extra on a layup and it goes high off the glass and rolls off the rim. Then it's Booker and it's Beal. And finishing at the rim, like, I know I kind of laughed at Gobert being the defensive player of the year over Wemby, assuming he wins it, but it just felt like Gobert was impacting shots at the rim. And I know Evan Mobley's doing that in the Orlando series. When people are shooting against Evan Mobley, he's holding him to like 18% shooting or something insane because of his length. And I don't have numbers on Gobert yet. Maybe they'll emerge later today. But it feels like, you know, he had 18 and 9 and only credited with one block. But I'm just telling you, it felt like he was a big factor defending the rim. And now the Suns have to settle for a bunch of shots on the perimeter. And it's like, oof, they're not hitting their shots. I'm worried about, I'm not writing them off. It's not over, obviously. But I am certainly like flashing red sirens in Phoenix right now.
Oh, 1,000%. I don't know how you could not be concerned about the Phoenix Suns. And this is coming from a guy in me who picked them to win this series.
Yeah.
I'm not shocked necessarily that they're down 0-2. Like, it happens. Minnesota is a good team. They're a great defense. They protected home court. That's not unusual. What is unusual is how they've done it, right? You would think coming into the series, with the mid-range monsters that they have there in Phoenix with Beal, KD, and Booker, that they would be able to feast on the Rudy Gobert drop coverage, that whoever with those KD or whoever got the mismatch with Karl Anthony Towns defensively, they would be able to get to their spots and just kind of raise up and hit it. That hasn't played out. And more importantly, and this might be one of the great tactical adjustments that I've seen a coach make so far in these playoffs, is Chris Finch has decided, you know what? We're not going to be able to stop Kevin Durant. There's nothing you can do realistically in the scheme of our defense that is going to stop Kevin Durant. Whoever we put in front of him, we try to make it tough on him, just hope he misses. Because there's no defense for a guy who's 7 foot tall that can shoot from anywhere and pull and handle and everything like that. So what they decided to do was, Jaden McDaniels is our best defender. We're not going to put him on Kevin Durant because instead of holding him to 35, he'll hold him to 31, and it's not really going to do much for us. Instead, we're going to put him on Devin Booker. And if Devin Booker does not go off, or he's not get off in the same way that he did last postseason with KD, then the Suns have no chance of winning this series. And to your point, Devin Booker is having a miserable go at it because they're putting a lot of length on him. JD McDaniels being the number one guy. Nikhil Alexander Walker's getting some time on him. And they have made their emphasis on slowing Devin Booker. And you can tell that the frustration is boiling over in Phoenix. You alluded to that one line about what he said about inside their team and the frustrations. There was a myriad of videos that I saw come out on Twitter late Tuesday night by some of their beat writers. And one of the quotes that really stood out to me was, he's talking about what they can do and in situations where things kind of start to snowball out of control. And his quote was, quote, just talking to each other, holding each other accountable. We're all trying to fight out there. And so far this series, once it turns to shit, we've kind of separated instead of being together. And that's everybody top to bottom. We've got to figure it out. And he alluded to that being an ongoing problem with their team, not just in the series, but throughout the season. And that to me is indicative of a bigger yet unsurprising problem in Phoenix. Kevin Durant, for all of his skills and his ability and everything that he brings to the table, he is very vocal about the fact that he is not a leader. That's not his game. He's going to show up. He's going to lead by example, and that works for him, but it doesn't necessarily work in the structure of a team. Bradley Beal has been stuck playing losing basketball for about a decade in Washington. So whether he's a leader or not, I don't know if he necessarily has the skins on the wall where people are going to follow him. So then now it falls on Devin Booker. And if Devin Booker is already getting frustrated after two games in this series, if Devin Booker, you'll recall, went viral years and years ago when he was getting mad about guys double teaming an open gym.
That's like, right.
Who's going to be the guy who steps up and galvanizes this group? It's the same thing that was going on with Joel Embiid, as you mentioned earlier. If Joel Embiid is not in the right mental state of mind to get his guys behind him and rally them together to make this a competitive series, then who is? Phoenix realistically only has two guys who can kind of carry that torch. It's Bradley Beal, who has been very underwhelming and out of the lineup with injury, and it's Devin Booker. And Devin Booker has already let you know what his mind frame is with his comments last night. He's letting his frustrations boil out on the court. They're boiling out in the press, in the post-game press conferences. And it's just looking really, really bad for Phoenix. Minnesota, I'm not going to say they've mentally broken Phoenix, but they've definitely put a chink in their armor.
Yeah, I just want to be clear. I don't think that series is over. I think Mavs have their series. They just needed to get one from the Clips. I'm not a big believer in the Clippers. I don't think Kawhi will fully turn around. I don't think Suns are dead. Obviously, game three, they got to win. And then game four will be the series. If they can go 2-2, I think the Suns are going to be fine. Winning in Minnesota, I got to give Minnesota some credit, man. Finch is doing a great job, like you said, tactically. And that crowd is very lubricated, man. It is such a scene. Everybody's standing, like, it feels like the entire game. It's the number two arena so far after the Garden, I would say, for energy and vibes in the NBA playoffs. The final game last night, very little talked about, but it was my Pacers. Yes, my Pacers. You know, I like them in the series. Showing out in the second half and just totally blitzing Milwaukee. Milwaukee's got some problems. So the Pacers, you know, they young team, really first playoff experience for a lot of guys, except for Pascal Siakam in game one. And in game two, here's what they did. 30 burger in the first, 30 in the second, 32 in the third, 33 in the fourth. They were consistently strong throughout. Okay. Now you could argue, Jay, Milwaukee had one in hand. They're just waiting for Giannis. Okay. Fair enough. Fine. I get it. That's why 38 assists, the Indiana Pacers. Shot 55% from the field, 44% from three. Pascal Siakam, his second straight 35-10 playoff game. I mean, this is how bad the defense was of the Bucks. Pascal Siakam had 37, 11, and zero turnovers in 37 minutes. Like, zero turnovers? That's pretty amazing. Now, Halliburton, I told you guys I'm in a player points pool for the playoffs where you draft guys. Halliburton was one of my picks because I think the Pacers win a round and you go to the second round. He's just not doing the scoring. 12 points, 12 assists. Like, he had a good game, but I can't tell, Rob, if he's deferring to other guys or he's being like LeBron-ish. I'm going to give what the defense is taking me. Because like Miles Turner's eating. He had 22. Nembhard, the kid out of Gonzaga, really strong little player, 20. Aaron Nesmith, Obi Toppin. Like, Hallie's like, I don't need to get mine. And everybody else is eating. Pacers look good. And I got a number for you here on the Bucks. So outside of Damian Lillard in the first half, the Bucks basically have done nothing in two games. Like, I know they won game one and Dame went off in the first half, but second half, the Pacers basically played him to a standstill, obviously because Lillard went postal. Damian Lillard has 8 points in the second half in two games. He has not made a three in the second half in two games. He's shooting 21% in the second half. Now, listen, we know Damian Lillard's older. How's this? Damian Lillard knows I got to get mine. I got to get this team in the game. I got to carry us. And he goes off in the first half again. And he's tired and spent in the second half. And he's got nothing left in the tank. And then it's like, okay, who's going to carry us? Jay Crowder? Pat Connaughton, who I like coming out of Notre Dame? Like, listen, you guys can, Milwaukee fans can get excited about Portis and Middleton and Lopez. Those guys are aging. And they're showing their age defensively, unable to stop the Pacers. Even if Giannis comes back, I still think the Pacers can win this series. And I think they probably will win this series. I haven't liked what I'm seeing from Milwaukee. I'm not ready to go like, what do they do in the offseason? Because Giannis is hurt. But Rob, Pacers to me, so they played eight quarters. If you want to say, we'll say two quarters have been even. I think the Pacers have basically outplayed the Bucks, save for the first two quarters of the series. In the last six quarters, it's been a standstill or Pacers have won the quarter. Bucks are not looking good to me.
Yeah, this series is really tricky because, again, after game one, you know, when Damian Lillard basically ended the game before it started in that first half, he started with 35 points and, you know, it was never really in doubt from there. But the one thing that the Pacers did, which you got to give them credit for, which I didn't even notice really at the time watching game one, is that as the game went along, they got back to playing their style of basketball. If they're going to play in a half-court setting against Milwaukee, I don't think they can win the series just because their team is not built to play like that. Like, it's Halliburton creating for everybody for the most part, and you kind of just go from there. And that's exactly what the Milwaukee Bucks are doing with Damian Lillard. So in the first half, when Damian Lillard is cooking and he's getting everyone going and he's scoring for himself, it looks great. But in the second half, when either he wears down or the defense adjusts and things like that, they have nothing going for him. What Tyrese Halliburton has been doing, going back from the second half of game one and then all of game two last night, is you said he's playing within himself. He's playing within the system. He's moving the ball. He's not pounding it into the pavement over and over and over. It's part of the reason why he's so appealing for Team USA basketball. We talked about this before. Kyrie Irving is probably a better player than Tyrese Halliburton, point blank, period. Just in terms of skills, handles, shooting ability, everything. But what that roster needs is a guy who's going to move the ball, take the open shot when it's there, but other than that, just be a connector to the rest of your players. Indiana, while they don't have that high-end talent, obviously, of a Team USA basketball, they're built in a similar way. They're better. They're at their best when everybody's involved, when Miles Turner feels like he's getting his touches. Pascal Siakam has been a revelation, and he's doing a lot of work in the mid-range, which is I love to see. It's a lost art in today's NBA. So for him to get the Pacers where they want to go, he knows that his job is to just keep the engine going. And Milwaukee, as has been the case all season, has a mediocre defense, and with no Giannis, it's even worse. Their offense right now is heavily predicated on Damian Lillard just basically going supernova for four quarters, and so far he hasn't been able to do that in each of these last two games. He has it for a half, and it kind of fades out. So unless Giannis is going to come back in game three, and not just come back like Kawhi Leonard did, but come back and be a reasonable facsimile of himself, I feel very confident in my Pacers pick to win the series before it started. Like
they're so desperate. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a better matchup for them.
They started to double Siakam because they couldn't stop him. And then Siakam's kicking it out and guys are spraying threes. It's like doubling Pascal Siakam. Who's the stopper on this Bucks team? I don't see one. So essentially, we're now what? Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, 4 days into the NBA playoffs. Steph Curry has been eliminated. LeBron is down 0-2 in the first round. Kevin Durant is down 0-2 in the first round. Folks, these guys had a good run, right? 15 years of total domination for that trio where they've been on top of the league or near the top. Obviously, Curry a little shorter, LeBron a little longer. You get the gist. For 15 years, essentially, that trio has ruled the NBA roost. I know Jokic has come on strong of late, but remember, Curry won a title in 22. LeBron won the bubble title. Like, come on. We're reaching the end of an era, folks. And, like, it's tough to wrap our head around this. But, yeah, the Nuggets may bounce the Lakers again. And Kevin Durant may get bounced again. And I don't know if Steph Curry's getting back to the playoffs again. It's like, these things are tough. And, you know, they kind of sneak up on you and everybody's all excited about it. Anthony Edwards. I am too. Luka Doncic, a lot of excitement around the league. But then quietly, you've got the veterans who you've watched religiously in the playoffs for 15 years. And they're out or down and out. And it's just, for me, a little depressing, which leads us, I think, into tonight's games.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort, performance tires for sporty handling, all-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Hankook tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Hankook test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
The only thing better than sitting on your couch watching the game is making money while you do it. Here's your best bet.
You guys know I've been, the playoffs have been unbelievable Monday and Tuesday. And then you look at the schedule tonight, like, oh, what do we got? Oh, damn, is the draft tonight? Oh, it's not. Damn, it's Thursday. And this really sucks. Like, Miami-Boston tonight. I want to bet Miami first quarter that they come out and give it their all. I don't even think I could go first half. I want to bet first quarter. I want to see the line. But I don't. Boston, I mean, Boston's winning this game. They're not losing this game. Jimmy Butler's not playing, guys. Boston's not losing. What's the excitement level?
I mean, I have to coach my daughter's soccer team, so I'll miss most of this game. And I'm not going to be like watching it on my phone, you know, like it's Heat Celtics. So I'll watch early and then I'll watch the ending, assuming it's close. And then the nightcap, Rob, is probably the most irrelevant series in the first round. And that's not a knock on the
number. Don't say that. Don't say that.
Sorry.
We got Cavs Magic. You know,
that's
the least watchable series. Fair. They said they should put that on Snapchat. That's what they were talking about.
I did not see that.
The streets are saying.
That's hard. Damn. Like if Zion were playing, yes, I would be all in on Zion versus Chet. But it's like, I don't know. Brandon Ingram can't get by Lou friggin' Dort. Like seriously, Lou Dort put the seatbelt on Brandon Ingram. He can't get loose. And I feel bad. Ingram's good. I mean, he's clearly like a number three. But if like Brandon Ingram's your three or Austin Reeves is your three, like I take Austin Reeves. I don't know. But like, what's the bet there? I have no idea. I actually think OKC probably blows him out when there's, and again, I don't have data to back this up, but if there's a blowout one way, then you go the other way first half. There was a close game where the Pelicans had it and then lost by what, one or two or three, whatever it was in game one. Was that their game? That was their chance. And now OKC, the young guys kind of wake up the way the Pacers did. Pacers had their first game and they're like, oh, this is tough. This is difficult, blah, blah, blah. Bounce back in game two. Like, I think OKC probably waxes the Pelicans here. But I don't know. It's OKC. You're like, are they that good? I don't have a lot of action tonight. I guess it's a hold your nose play on the Heat first quarter. Come on. I mean, could Tyler Hero hit enough shots before they get run out of the building? And then OKC, you just root for a blowout. But again, neither of these games is that appetizing. And what sucks, Rob, what really stinks, is Thursday night, you get the draft, and also you get Knicks-Philly. Now, that probably will be a blowout. I did already bet Philly -4.5. I don't know where the line is now, but I bet it as soon as I saw it. And then you get Lakers-Nuggets. And that's going to be a scene out here in LA. And I don't know, part of me thinks the Lakers can win that, but you know, Rob was so negative yesterday. I almost feel like they're in trouble.
I'm a broken man.
Yeah. That'll do that. They'll do that to you. And so Thursday's games are good. I don't know, Rob. There is always Orlando and Cleveland on Thursday. If you know, by the way, Philly is somehow still 4.5. Oh my God. I don't know what I'm missing. Maybe they don't think Embiid's going to play. And then Denver's -1.5 at home. I'm sorry, on the road in LA. And Orlando's favorite against the Cavs. Yeah, I don't know what I would do in game. I think I would probably go, well, I have some time to think about it, but for Thursday, I think Orlando first half, right? Going home, role players probably hitting some shots. You get the crowd juiced up, first playoff game in Orlando in what? Gotta be at least 10 years. And you ride that energy against a Cavs team that can be hit and miss. And maybe Orlando can win the half. I don't know if they'll be able to pull away or even get the win. But like Thursday, I'm not going to lie, guys. Men's league season opener is my top priority. I'm not even lying. No cap on that. By the way, they just sent the rosters out a little while ago. And of course, the team that won the championship, Timofey Mozgov and a bunch of Drew League guys, all my friends wanted to look at the roster. They're like, oh my gosh, the guys who basically won that team aren't even in the league. I guess two of them went over to Europe to play in, I don't know, Turkey, Slovenia, whatever it is. They're playing in leagues. Mozgov is playing with a bunch of free agents whose names I don't recognize. I don't know. We'll see. But mentally, it's top priority for me Thursday. And then it's NBA draft. And then it's, you know, the game threes. So Thursday night's going to be lit. I think tonight could be okay. You know, maybe, you know what, if you haven't hung out with the wife, the kids for a couple days, you know, maybe Wednesday night throw them a bone and you know, hang out with them. Rob, take the daughter to Disneyland. I don't know.
I can't afford that no more. What are you talking about? I haven't looked ahead to Thursday's game, but after winning my first half parlays last night, I feel like I might let it ride here for the Wednesday night action. And I love the Thunder -7.5 is where I got them against the Pelicans. Mm. Like you, I think that this could be one of those big blowout type games, only from the reason being is that they finally got their feet wet. That was the big question coming in about OKC is how would the young guys deal with the first time being in the playoffs outside of Shea? And they looked super tentative, quite honest with you, in game one. They didn't really look like the OKC that we've seen in the regular season. So I think now that they got that exposure in game one, The game plan, I believe, will be better in game two against the Pelicans. And I think you're going to see them more comfortable. So I like them -7.5. The Boston one, I could see them winning this game by 35, and I could see them winning it by 13. Either way, they're going to win it. So you might not get the best odds on this, but if you parlay it, it might work out for you. Give me the Celtics money line. I'm not touching the 14.5.
Money
this
could line?
Be,
no.
Because it could be a backdoor cover. You could see
minus
them.
-1,200? No, you're not.
No, you got a parlay is what I'm saying. So I'm taking my parlay winnings from Monday night, rolling it over to Tuesday night or Wednesday night. Excuse me, the days all run together. And I'm taking those winnings with another parlay. Give me the Thunder -7.5 with the Celtics money line. Not the best odds. I'm well aware of that. But, you know, I'll take the money if it's available to me.
Yeah. Okay. I just looked it up. Orlando first half game three is -2. -2 for Orlando, a team that's been destroyed. By the way, one final note. It's you made a good point on OKC, like realizing what the playoffs are. I don't know if people have noticed, but how different the playoffs are than the regular season. Like we know this is a thing, but when you actually watch it, it's like, damn, people are getting back on defense. People are hustling. People are locking up. You're not seeing as many open shots, and the scoring is way down. Unders have been on a tear. I just don't mess with NBA totals. Just something to watch. Like, the game is totally different. It is really a chess match. And, I mean, you know, most of the games are, at least. I don't know that Boston-Miami tonight is going to be much of one. I think probably Miami throws some zones at. Maybe I wouldn't be surprised to see like a box in one, triangle in two. You know, just throw some gimmick stuff to throw them off. You could throw them off for 5-6 minutes and stay in the game. You know, anything. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Spoelstra had something good cooked up here.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And again, when you're playing a team like Boston, and this is might sound like an insult, but it's fact. When you are that reliant on the three ball, all it takes is an off night to, like I said, I don't think they're going to lose this game at all. I think they're going to win. There's too much talent. But to cover a 14.5-point spread, that's really big in the NBA, and it's ginormous in the postseason. So if they have an off shooting night, to your point, Eric Spoelstra junks things up, runs like four different zones in, you know, the first quarter alone, then it's possible that they're in it for a closer game than people would expect. Or can go the other way and the zone doesn't matter, and then they go up by 35 again in the third quarter. We'll see.
All right. Pace yourselves. Big Thursday night ahead. That's it for today. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.